I have a very exciting announcement. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is coming. From February 17th through the 21st, the Schoolhouse Rocked team is gathering your favorite speakers in one place and hosting a one-of-a-kind live and interactive online event called the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This will be a full week of encouragement, resources, and community, as we'll be addressing the most important issues that homeschool families face. You'll have the opportunity to interact live with our phenomenal lineup of speakers, receive a swag bag full of excellent and helpful resources, and have a chance to win valuable prizes. We already have some great speakers lined up, including Kurt Cameron, Sam Sorbo, Andrew Pudua, Heidi St. John, Israel Wayne, Ginger Hubbard, Todd Wilson, Lee Bortons, Rachel Carmen, Dorinda Wilson, Connie Albers, Karen DeBuse, Linda Hobart, and many others. The price for this live online event is only $20, which also gives you lifetime access so that you can enjoy it whenever you want. However, if you register prior to December 31st, you'll pay the early bird price of only $15. Register today at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back today with one of my very favorite homeschool moms and one of my really good friends, Dorinda Wilson, who we are also honored to have as a guest speaker for the upcoming Homegrown Generation Online Family Expo. Dorinda was with us way back for episode 10, so it's been a while since we've had you on, Dorinda. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. It is always a treat to talk with you either on the podcast or in person.
Yes. Yep. God has been so gracious to our family as we've gotten to know your family over the past couple of years. And you just, you have a neat family. We love you guys. And it's been really fun getting to know you and just know your heart. You are a mom who is passionate about family, about marriage, about homeschooling, about parenting, everything having to, you know, that your whole world encompasses. And God has really given you a gift to be able to encourage moms and just come alongside of moms and encourage them in a million different ways, it seems. So for those who are not familiar with you, really quickly introduce yourself and your family.
Okay. I'm Dorinda Wilson, and I'm married to Daryl. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Yay. I have no idea how that happened, but but it did. And we have 8 kids. They are ages 28 down to 15, and we have 6 grandkids, and we've graduated 6 of our 8 kids, and we've been homeschooling for about 24 years, and it's the best thing ever. I've never looked back. We homeschooled from the beginning, and I am so thankful that we did.
Yeah, well, I am thankful that you did too. And I love talking to moms like you who have gone before me, and you've kind of test driven this homeschooling thing. And and you've got 8 kids, so it's you didn't have it easy, and you had several little ones kind of at your ankles as you were trying to homeschool through many, many years. And I love that you were committed to it, you stuck with it, and you now can come in on the other side of it. Now, I'm sure it probably seems kind of like cake for you only homeschooling 2, because they're older and they're a little bit more independent and kind of able to do things on their own.
It's true. There is a piece of that that's really true. But the other part of it is that it's challenging because they are teenagers and they have ideas about different things. And so you're navigating different personalities in a new season. So I've got other things going on that I didn't when all the kids were home. So it's always a challenge, and it's always a commitment to keep moving forward and to keep persevering.
Yeah. One of the things that really encourages me about you is you have a book and a website and just a ministry called The Unhurried Homeschooler. And your book has been instrumental to me in being able to just kind of let go of the angst of I have to do it all and I have to get it all right. And we have to get through all these lesson plans. And, you know, it has to look like this picture perfect homeschool day. Which never happens. And so as mom, I talk to moms all the time and they feel like they're just not doing enough, or they're messing it up, or, you know, somehow they're failing their kids because they don't do school the way that we think school should be done.
Right.
And so you've been great at just saying, you know what, just take it easy, take a breath, step back, take it easy, figure out what works best for you and your family, and then do that.
Right.
And trust the Lord to fill in the gaps.
Absolutely. I know that there was a point at which I realized I am either going to enjoy this and love my kids along the way and actually have a relationship with them when this is all said and done, or I'm going to lose my mind and I'm going to lose my kids.
Yep.
I mean, I just felt like that's really what it came down to when it was all said and done. And I chose my kids. I chose a relationship with them. I chose to trust God, and not just once, but over and over and over again. And I tell people all the time, I know that if people were looking in on our homeschooling back then, or even now, they would probably look in and say, she is not doing enough. These kids are never going to make it. Well, guess what? They are making it.
Yeah.
And it had way less to do with choosing the right, in fact, it had nothing to do with choosing the right curriculum. It had everything to do with understanding why we were doing what we were doing and embracing the lifestyle. I like what Danielle calls it, life schooling, because really that's what it is. We are learning every day along the way. And a piece of it has to do with book work, but the bulk of it does not.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I love this, perfectly segues into our conversation today, talking about relationships. You know, earlier today I was reading with my girls, and I just was thinking how sweet it was. I'm sitting on the couch and both of them had their heads on my shoulders. And I just thought, man, this is literally like my dream, is to just sit here with my girls, snuggle up with them and read a book with them. It doesn't get better than that to me. I love that. I love that part of my life that I get to be the one. They're not sitting on carpet squares in front of a teacher who's holding open a book and reading them a fun story, because it's not just about reading the book and getting the information into their brains. It's about building those relationships. And so you have worked really hard, and your husband, Daryl, you know, we've gotten to know you and we've gotten to know your family. And so several months ago, I asked you, I said, I really want you to come on the podcast and talk about relationships, and specifically sibling relationships, because I've seen your family together and your kids have a relationship with each other that's so unique and special, and they truly love each other. The first time we went to your house, I will never forget this. As a matter of fact, if people watch the Schoolhouse Rocked movie trailers, I think the second one, is it? I think it's the second one.
I think it is too.
Called America's Greatest Heroes. And I'll link to that in the show notes. But it quickly flashes to your family and it shows you and your family sitting on your front porch. And I love that we got to capture that with you guys. And all eight of your kids happened to be there that weekend.
Yes.
God just beautifully orchestrated that.
He did. He did.
But it wasn't, what's neat about that is, I think oftentimes people think, well, you know, we're filming this documentary, and so everything we film is all set up, you know, it's
right.
We made everyone sit in those places and fill these specific roles. And okay, you sit here now. Okay, now you sit here and you act like you're loving your sister. Act like you're having fun. And we did not do that at all with you guys. And I know you're not a perfect family by any means, but it was so neat to see your family together and to see your kids together with their age range, and there's just a connection there. They love each other. They genuinely love each other, and they love you and Daryl. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about that today. Talk to us about how we can build those relationships, not just with our kids, but how we can help our kids build relationships with one another. Because as, you know, as the Lord would have it, just to humble me, right before I jumped on this podcast, my girls were right outside and they were bickering about something. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to do a podcast on sibling relationships. And so, you know, I just needed a reminder of
why
we're doing this. So help us, Dorinda. Tell us.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm listening to you and I am like now down the road looking back and seeing this great fruit. But can I just say, in the middle of it, I thought, are they ever, especially certain kids who just rubbed each other the wrong way, are they ever going to get along? Are they ever going to like love each other the way I'm hoping for and shooting for and wanting so much for them to have as adults, you know, and to have this kind of bonded relationship? And I remember just falling on my knees and just being, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, there's like, what, 13 and a half years between the eight of them. Oh. So, you know, there was squabbling and fighting that went on. But I can also say that there was a lot of peace in our house because we took the time to walk through those conflicts with the kids. Now, not every conflict has to go under a magnifying glass and be discussed to the nth degree. You know, sometimes it's just like, knock it off. You guys are done. You're not doing this. Or separate. You know, each situation calls for something a little different. And there's no perfect answer except to listen to the Lord in each situation, just to take a pause. A lot of times if I don't feel like I'm getting what I need to walk them through this, we take a pause and I just say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need to know how to handle this. But the bottom line is that their relationships were actually nurtured a lot of times through conflict.
Okay.
Because we took the time to stop and say, I want you to think this through. And what we used as a filter for that was we used the Word of God, which talks a lot in the New Testament about how we're supposed to treat each other. Mm-hmm. And that was our grid. And so if you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:12 to 18, God describes what it looks like to be the body of Christ to each other. And this passage is just as applicable to family life. I'll read it to you. It says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. That would be the parents. Mm-hmm. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peacefully with each other. And then it goes on to talk about brothers and sisters. We urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak and be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. So in that passage, there's two main principles. One is to have the heart of love for each other. So we want to be encouraging that, whatever that looks like. How do we encourage our kids to have a heart of love for each other? And that means having the other's best interest in mind, which also might mean sometimes that they're going to give a word of warning to their sibling. You shouldn't be doing that. You know, that's not okay. I really don't want you to get in trouble, or I don't want this, you know, you can see the next thing that's going to happen if they keep doing this.
Sure.
Please get off the roof. This isn't safe. You know, that kind of thing where they have, where our kids are allowed to speak that to each other, because that is something we need to be able to do as the body of Christ as well, to give it and also receive it, but to do it in love and to do it out of concern for the other person, not revenge or, you know, any of these other sinful motivations, but really having the other person's best interest in mind. And the second principle is that it talks about in here is to basically you want to spur each other on to love and good works. So asking yourself the question before you respond or before you, you know, react or say something to them, ask yourself, encourage our kids to ask themselves, is this going to encourage the other person to do the right thing, or might it provoke them to do the wrong thing? And obviously, they're not going to have the wherewithal to do that at a very early age, you know, but you want to be encouraging it. The point is you want to be instilling in your kids this love for each other, this concern for each other, and understanding how the other person works. You know, like if I said one thing to one child, that might spur them on to love and good works, it might, that same exact thing might be a discouragement to another child and would actually provoke them to anger. So you're teaching your kids discernment in how they respond to certain personality types and things like that. So we learned a lot together about love languages and personality types and gender differences, because they are there.
Right.
We know that God has created us differently, equal but different. A really good example of this fact is a story that I like to tell about our daughter who was, I think she may have been 7 or 8 years old. This is Johanna, who's 17 now. But we were having family devotions or reading together or something, and she just had the stinkiest attitude. I could not believe it. And finally, I just looked at her and I'm like, what is your problem? What is going on here? And she starts sobbing and telling me how she needed shoes for this, you know, this, I don't know, dance class she was taking and some performance. She had never told me that she needed these shoes. I was like, well, you should tell me. I'd be happy. I didn't want to get, you know, so she just kind of got all dramatic. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know what to do with this kid. And in the meantime, Luke, who is our fifth, so this is our seventh child who's crying, and the fifth looks at her and just says, what is really going on? You know, like, what is, you know, I think actually he was the one who asked that question. And that's when she started sobbing about the shoes. Is he took the time to say, what is really going on with you? Why are you acting this way? And he really wanted to know. And that's when she launched into the tears and said all these things about her shoes. And then she kind of settled down once she had a chance to express that. And I assured her we'd get her the shoes she needed. And then all of a sudden, our boys just erupted into laughter. And they said, they just started laughing and said, of course, she's a girl. It's about the shoes. It's always about the shoes. And we all just ended up laughing about the whole thing. But it took such a different turn when our son took the time to ask what was really going on. You know, I hadn't even thought of that. You know, I was just thinking about, what do I do with this kid? You know?
Right.
So anyway, it was just one of those moments where we just really, you could see that starting to happen. And it was, you know, and that's one thing you have to do is just look for progress. Don't, not perfection. Mm-hmm. That was something I had to realize after some long, hard, different situations where I realized I was expecting perfection instead of progress. Mm-hmm. And so when we make progress in, our kids are making progress in their relationships with each other, we want to make sure that we recognize that and say, hey, you handled that really well, you know? And so I think what it comes down to is just, it's a priority for us as a parent that we want our kids to have those good relationships. And it can be a struggle because we didn't all come from backgrounds maybe where we, you know, where that was encouraged or whether our families, you know, if our families didn't handle conflict well. I heard this really great quote by Clara Ortega. She said this about siblings: to the outside world, we all grow old, but not to brothers and sisters. We know each other as we always were. We know each other's hearts. We share private family jokes and we remember family feuds and secrets, family griefs and joys. We live outside the touch of time. And so even if you didn't have good relationships with your siblings, you kind of get that, you know, like that makes sense. There is this bond from growing up together. And the beauty is that as homeschoolers, we can really encourage that kind of bond because we're with them all the time. But boy, it can feel like a lot of work.
Yes.
What did Thomas Edison say? He said, opportunity is missed by most because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. And I remember thinking the biggest mistake I made was thinking that my kids were going to get along. And most of us who launched into this homeschool thing didn't really factor in the sibling thing.
Right.
Like how much they were going to be together and the potential for conflict that was going to be there. But it's an opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, sibling relationships is one of the biggest things that we deal with, and I've got two kids and we deal with it daily, you know, and oftentimes, you know, in really great ways. And then sometimes, you know, they bicker with each other, but I'm so grateful that we get to be the ones who help them navigate through this time of learning how to love each other and how God would have them to love each other.
Right.
Let's take a quick break and then we're going to come back and talk some more about this. I want to tell you about a fantastic resource to help you homeschool your kids, homeschoolhelp.com. Homeworks by Precept has over 200 homeschool consultants in North America to help make your child's homeschool experience a success. Homeworks by Precept is a partner with BJU Press Homeschool and shares their values of biblical worldview, academic excellence, and critical thinking. And as homeschooling parents themselves, their consultants draw from their own personal homeschool experience and their knowledge of the BJU Press homeschool curriculum to offer solutions that help you to prepare lessons, become more efficient in homeschooling, and meet your child's unique learning needs. Homeworks consultants offer year-round support, expert advice, and they offer year-round savings on BJU Press curriculum. To connect with a Homeworks consultant, visit homeschoolhelp.com. That's homeschoolhelp.com. We are back with Dorinda talking about sibling relationships. And I love, that you talked about earlier about how conflict can be used to help nurture the relationships between siblings. And, you know, I had never actually thought about that before. Now thinking through, we have a good friend, Ginger Hubbard,
yes.
And she wrote, "Don't let me count to three. And I can't believe you just said that." And she has wise words for moms. And I've often heard her say, when our children disobey, count it a blessing because it really gives us an opportunity to train the hearts of our children.
Absolutely.
Instead of seeing it as something that's so terrible and derailing our whole day, because homeschooling is not just the academics.
Right.
The academics are part of it, but relationships are even
Absolutely.
More important because that's what they
Absolutely.
have to get through life. And we've told our girls oftentimes, if you can learn to get along with your sister, you can learn to get along with anybody.
Absolutely.
Because everywhere they go from whether it's their spouse or their own children or coworkers or neighbors or mother-in-law or father-in-law or, brother, sister-in-law, it does not matter. You are going to have to use the skills that we have taught you in getting along with other people, and you're going to carry that into your adult life. And so you are so, I think, spot on in saying it really can be used to help nurture them. And it's an encouragement because
yes.
then we can look at conflict and not be completely discouraged by it, but and not celebrate it, but at the same time go, okay, here's an opportunity that I have as a mom or as a dad to help my child understand how to respond in a way that would honor the Lord and not get me what I want.
Exactly. And if we can think of it as part of our homeschooling day instead of an obstacle, mm-hmm. That changes everything. Because I can tell you from hindsight, this is absolutely crucial. And every opportunity that you have that you can work these things out with your kids is an opportunity you don't want to miss. Because not only do we want our kids to have lifelong relationships with each other, mm-hmm. but also we want them, like you mentioned, to have the people skills and the communication yeah. skills that they acquire during childhood are foundational for future relationships. Because some of the things that they're learning are that relationships are a lot of work, but they're worthwhile and a long-term investment. And they get that message from us when we take the time mm-hmm. to try to work it out with them, to help them work through conflict. We're preparing them for marriage, for yep. friendships. We're preparing them for the workplace, and we're preparing them how to be the body of Christ to each other. And I think that's yeah. something that has kind of been missed along the way as kids are being sent to school and only required to spend very little time with their siblings. A lot of those skills are being missed because of that. Whereas when we're homeschooling, we have the opportunity to build those skills into our kids. And it is definitely challenging, but it is so, so worth it.
Yeah.
We just, our son was just married about a month ago in our backyard, and I had two people, is a very small wedding, so two people was a lot for this wedding, come up to me and mention specifically that they were watching the relationship between our kids mm. and how they interacted with each other and how you could tell that they had such a great relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And that was really, really good to hear. It was a blessing to me because of all those years, we're talking, 20 plus years, and I still have to do it with the younger two, mm-hmm. of working on these relationships and going ahead and making that a priority. And so I think it's so important.
Yeah. Dorinda, I wonder, as you're talking and we're talking about relationships, I was thinking, I wonder how different our culture would be when it comes to divorce if parents had been more intentional and mm-hmm. parents would be more intentional about teaching our kids to love and get along with one another. And to we tell our girls all the time, just give yourself up for your sister. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be your way.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
love your sister enough it's not going to matter in 10 minutes that you got the pink, you know, straw and she got the blue straw. Who really cares? Just give yourself up. And how different would our culture look, maybe, just maybe, if people learned how to get along through their childhood years and took that into their marriage with them.
Exactly. And even more so the body of Christ.
Yes.
Like we can be so, we often are so divisive and so divided and so fragmented. And I think these, you know, as Christians, we're called to a higher standard. And so I think that we're seeing this kind of played out in the church too. People don't know how really to be the body of Christ to each other. And so to be able to instill that in our kids at a young age is such a privilege. And, you know, one of the things that people ask me all the time, like, how did you do it? What is it? You know, that, you know, what, you know, they want that certain key thing. And, you know, I actually asked my kids when I was writing my workshop that I do for conferences on this. I asked my grown kids, I said, tell me, you tell me, I want your feedback, because I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but hearing it from the kids is a whole nother story. So I asked the five oldest ones, I said, what was it that we did that you think more than anything else bonded you guys together? You want to know what their answer was?
What?
You ready for this?
Yes.
Being in a confined space with limited access to friends and devices is what bonded us together the most. And I thought, that sounds terrible. It sounds like we locked them up in a room. and that was not the case. But it was interesting because God had us in a small house, small for 10 people. It was 1,800 square feet. And I know people with that size family that live in a smaller house. But we had moved out of a huge house and chosen to move into this smaller house, partly towards moving towards debt, being debt free. But it was interesting because all of a sudden, you know, we could hear everything, everything that was going, we always knew what was going on with our kids all the time because we were in these close quarters. We had snow. We were stuck inside a lot of times through the winter, and the kids had to either get along or not, you know? And so there was always this, this sort of ongoing, almost like a pressure place. You know, it was a place where God molded them under some pressure, and me too along the way, let me tell you. But the thing that's interesting is, I mean, they did see other people. I just want to clarify that. They did socialize, but most of their time was spent working and playing alongside of each other. And so it's really important for us to steward our kids' time together well. I know when we live in a neighborhood, it can be really easy, even when we don't, to let our kids play with the people they want to play with, as opposed to spending time together. And so we need to make sure that they are having enough time together as siblings, because we're teaching them that family life and these sibling relationships are worth the effort. We're saying no to other things, and not always, but we're saying yes to the family first. So we're And in the process, as they're spending time together, we're encouraging teamwork through that working and that playing alongside of each other. We're teaching them personal responsibility, that their actions affect the people around them. That is empathy. And that is another thing that our culture is seriously lacking. And as we're teaching our kids this conflict resolution, we're saying, how do you think that made him feel? Or if you were in his position, how would you want him to respond to you? So you're teaching them empathy along the way. We're teaching them patience and communication, natural consequences, conflict resolution, so much more, simply through working through sibling relationships, nurturing them and working through conflict. So the picture's way bigger than it first appears. And I think the enemy wants us to think that because it's so easy to get caught up in all the other things on the checklist when the reality is this is a huge thing in our homeschooling.
And I love, you know, at the beginning of the podcast, you talked about just trusting the Lord and asking him to show us how to react to our kids. And so I think that's an important thing in that, you know, seeking the Lord and just saying, Lord, how do I deal with this? And sometimes that means sending your child to their room, you know, or to their rooms for a few minutes, or just sit in a chair for a few minutes and let mommy think and pray through this. Because if we react immediately, you know, out of anger or frustration, or just react in a way that is not going to be helpful, then we can do more damage than we do good. But if we'll take the time to step back and just say, Lord, what do you want from me? How do you, how do you want me to deal with this? And then trust him to give us the wisdom. You know, James talks about, if we ask for wisdom, he will give it. And if we ask him for wisdom, he will give it to us. He will.
Right. And yes. He, it also says, but we must believe and not doubt.
That's
because
exactly
he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. Now, I have found myself more unstable when I stop trusting him for that wisdom. But I camped on that verse so much in parenting and so much in homeschooling. And, you know, I just think it's important to understand that, to create a cohesive family life, we have to understand that the biggest thing, and what I was sharing, wanting to share when I was sharing our about our kids being in a confined space, is overcoming obstacles together. Mm-hmm. We always look at negative scenarios, a flat tire, a car breaking down, a dishwasher breaking down, as a negative thing and an obstacle in our path. And really, those things are opportunities when it comes to homeschooling. And they're often opportunities to bring the kids together. I remember our dishwasher would break down and I would just invite whoever wanted to come in and say, hey, can you guys help me solve this problem? Because I think I'm not sure what's going on here. And they would just get in there and they would start problem solving together. And then of course, with the boys, it's a little competitive. Right. So they're like, you know, well, I think it's this. No, I think it's this because of this, you know. So there's homeschooling, like, they're working together, they're problem solving together, and we're learning something, you know, even if it means we call the repairman.
Right.
So it's overcoming obstacles together. Mm-hmm. And that includes conflict. That's an obstacle that brings our kids together and brings our families together.
Yeah. So talk about where your kids are now with each other. And I, because you told me this story, I think it's such an amazing story of what happened recently at Luke's wedding. Talk about where they are now, because growing up, you put all of this work into it. Now they're all adults. You've actually, your kids are kind of spread throughout the country now.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Some of them.
Yeah.
What does that relationship look like now with most of them as adults?
Well, when they get together, and it had been 2 years since when you were here. And then this wedding that happened a month ago, that entire time, that entire 2 years, we were never all together in one spot. So it was a very rare occasion. But when they get together, it's like no time has passed. They just pick up where they left off. They talk a lot about their childhood and the different things that they did. We gave them lots of playtime, and especially in the afternoons, even as high schoolers, they had freedom in the afternoon. We just really felt that was an important part for them to pursue their interests and just, you know, just have time and space to themselves. It's so important for personal development, you know, from the time they're little all the way through. So that's why, you know, it's one of the reasons I wrote The Unhurried Homeschooler, is just to encourage families to put margin in their day. Because if you have margin in your day, then you can take the time to work through the conflicts and all this. So back to the kids, ended up with a flu bug. I mean, this wasn't just any flu bug. This was like really bad throwing up flu bug.
And this is at the wedding.
This is at the wedding. The first person went down, and that was our 17-year-old daughter. And she ended up having to run away from the altar and to the house, because it was in our backyard. And she was throwing up all along the way. And it was just so heartbreaking, because I knew it was kind of embarrassing for her. And so our other daughter, who's 26, and she had flown here with her baby, looked at me and said, should I go after her? And she said, yeah. And I said, yeah, go, please see how she's doing. And so she went. Part of it was her baby had this bug and had brought this bug. And so my daughter was feeling bad about this. And so she really wanted to make sure Johanna was okay. So she went up there, and I mean, she would have checked on her anyway, but she really just wanted to make sure she was okay. So she went into her room and she just said, I'm so sorry. You know, I wish, you know, we wouldn't have brought this bug, which nobody could do anything about. And, our daughter just looked at her, 17-year-old, and just said, I would rather be throwing up and have you here than to not have you here. And another one of our kids told her the same thing on a separate occasion when they went down with the flu as well a couple days later. And so just to see that response between them, and the way that they would help each other and encourage each other and just be there for each other during this, you know, this crazy thing that was going on. It was just a real it was just a privilege to be able to watch it. And I've talked to our kids before about these situations, and I'd always tell them how proud I am of them, even as adults, you know, when they work something out. We had a couple of adult boys who lived together, and the one got married, and there was some little conflict that went on, and they worked through it. And I just, the way that they did it was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so when it was all said and done, I said to both of them on separate occasions, said, I am so proud of you. And I was talking to one in particular, our 19-year-old, and I said, I'm so proud of you for the way you handled this, you know? And he just said, Mom, you did teach us how to do this. And I said, yes, but I can teach you till I'm blue in the face, but you have to make the decision. That's and right. You made that decision and you walked in it. And so it was just a chance to encourage him again, you know?
Yeah.
So it is. It's just a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's not perfect. It is not perfect.
Not.
You know, certain kids still, even as adults, struggle, but they know how to navigate it.
Yes.
Like there's not deep wounds there that they're, you know, having to go back to or where they're overreacting. They just know this is the nature of our relationship, you know? And the cool thing is when they're at work and places like that, they can, because they had so many siblings, they can identify, oh, he is a lot like my brother, so-and-so.
Right.
And so he needs me to respond this way. And they know that.
Right.
So it's really, it really gives them a leg up, really, when it comes to teamwork and their jobs and everything.
Well, so it really is helpful to have 8 children.
No, it's great. Right. Well, it was good for us. I can say that.
Oh, I know. Your kids are such a blessing. So, We're out of time, unfortunately. I could talk to you all day long about this, but I appreciate your encouragement. And I'm, you know, what I've pulled out of this is be intentional about training our children and see the conflict as an opportunity to teach our kids how to do that instead of just pushing them off to the side and yelling at them, you know, get
exactly.
along.
And God, you know, we don't do things perfectly. I didn't respond perfectly to probably most of the situations. And there's never like a perfect answer. The idea is just to follow the Lord's lead the best you know how and the best you can. And he is so gracious.
He is.
He works in their hearts. And that's one thing I want to just really quickly say before we leave. Don't forget to pray over your kids' relationships because it's a work of the heart and it has to start there and it has to start with God doing a work in their heart. When I got frustrated and didn't know what to do with certain siblings that seemed to never get along, that was my thing. Lord, soften their hearts towards each other.
Yeah.
Give them grace and ability to be able to get along. Show them how to do this because they do need to do some figuring out.
Yep.
We don't have all the answers and sometimes they have to help figure it out.
Yep. Yep.
So
God's way is always the best way.
Amen.
And he will always come through and and giving us the wisdom that we need, even if it seems messy and looks messy.
Yes.
And we
yes.
don't do it right. We don't say it right. We don't, you know, speak to our kids always with kindness and in love. God is faithful and he will help us through this journey of parenting. And,
absolutely.
You know, just Garrett and I were just talking about it and saying, how does the world, our world is so messed up because we've turned away from the Lord. We've said, God, we don't need you.
Right.
And look at where it's gotten us. And it's a disaster. I mean, my heart literally grieves for our world, not just our country, but for our world, who is just so opposed to the truth of God and his word, because his word is so perfect. And
it
not
is.
That we're perfect, but he is. And so when we seek him and when we trust him to give us what we need to parent our children and we trust him with their relationships and realize that it's not all up to us.
It's not.
Then there's so much there. There's just so much freedom there. So, Dorinda, thank you. You are an enormous blessing to me. I love you so much. I love your family.
Thank you.
And I am so grateful for your time today and encouraging us as we learn to navigate through these murky waters of parenting and homeschooling.
Yes.
Really quickly, where can people find you?
You can find me at DorindaWilson.com. And I also have a podcast. It's just Dorinda Wilson and it's on iTunes, Overcast, Podbean, Spotify, or you can listen directly from my site. I also have a mentoring course. We'll include that link in the podcast notes. And those are I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and those will be shared there as well. So I'd love to connect with you.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you, Dorinda. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day and go love your babies and look for opportunities to point them to Jesus. We'll see you guys next week.